My name is Pearson.
My name is Pearson.
You are listening to Our Papa on Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
This is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber from Compass Retirement Advisors. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Mike Graber provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Retirement Talk. We are happy whenever you choose to join us here for a show. Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show, or particularly today's topic, give me a call at 812-787-0809. You can visit us online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com. There's information there about the work that we do here at Compass Retirement Advisors. And while you're at the website, you can click on the radio page and listen to some of our past shows. And if you want access to the full show library, subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music, and you would subscribe to Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. Now that the 2024 presidential election season is in full swing, you know, many people are turning their attention to what the outcome of this November's election might mean for their financial futures. In fact, an Investopedia article that we're going to be looking at today, the title is "Investors' Election Year Worries Could Be Overblown," say the experts. And in their survey, they determined that 61% of investors who responded say they are concerned the election's outcome will have a negative impact on their portfolio. You know, this article has a lot more to say about the topic, and we're eager to unpack this and share this information with you. And we're going to be discussing, in particular, the myths and the realities about what election outcomes mean for our money. Before we get into this very timely topic, I want to introduce my co-host, Tony Shore. And, you know, Tony, when I was growing up, we were encouraged, you know, not to talk too much about politics or religion out in public.
Right.
But this election season and what it may mean to our portfolios, I think it's important that we spend some time, you know, and talk about this and put this in the proper perspective for our listeners. So thanks for being along today as we tackle this topic.
Well, I don't know how nowadays we might as well jump on the bandwagon to talk about politics because, wow, we've been hearing
everywhere. Yeah.
It is everywhere, especially after that debate.
That was
crazy. I wish we had better choices for our elected officials, but what we have is what we have. And it is interesting, that's for sure. But you're right. You don't want to let your emotions about politics cause you to make irrational or emotional decisions about your finances. And I'm glad you're going to talk about this today, Mike. I think it's going to be good. I mean, obviously, the election in November is going to be one of the most dominant news stories, and especially with the Democrats in such disarray. And, you know, so it is interesting. But a lot of people are worried, you know, hey, if my guy doesn't get in, you know, the stock market is going to crash, and what's going to happen? You know, maybe I should put all my money under my mattress. So let's address that one today, right?
Yeah, there is just a lot to talk about. And
yeah,
most of this centers around, you know, our emotional response, you know, to the candidates. And
sure,
regardless of who the candidates are and regardless, you know, in what year the election's taken place, I think these are some of the natural instincts of we human beings, you know, to worry about things. But I think when we look through the information that we're going to share here today and in next week's show, you know, my goal is to alleviate some of the anxiety that people may be going through. We've talked at length earlier this year about all the uncertainty that seems to be growing, you know, in our communities and our society from a variety of reasons. And now this year, that's being compounded by all the political rhetoric. I think it's important for we retirement savers and those who are already retired to, you know, take the candidates out of it and look just historically at the way the markets have reacted and toned down all of the rhetoric and our emotional responses particularly. But, you know, like it or not, November's election is going to be in our face in news stories by the minute, updated it seems, over the next several months. And then when things like the recent debate happen, you know, it gets magnified, and I'm sure there's going to be multiple things that are brought to our attention over these next several months that, you know, heighten all of the political pundits and their conversations. But, you know, we want to stick more with data and the facts. And we're going to dig, you know, deeper into this article. You know, and election anxiety significantly outpaced concerns in this article about things like, you know, the conflict in the Middle East and the possibility of a recession here at home. You know, this article cites a nationwide survey that found 68% of Republican investors think the election's outcome will have an immediate and direct impact on their finances, and 57% of Democratic investors, you know, think the same. And, you know, I think it's perfectly understandable that investors and savers are always going to feel, you know, a certain level of, you know, anxiety during the election season.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And as I said, it's compounded this year because of all the other uncertainties, you know, the issues we've talked about here on the show, like the debt and the deficit continuing to grow, and what might be on the radar for Social Security and Medicare. But here's the key. Historical trends suggest there may be little reason to be as concerned as we are in all actuality. While, you know, the past is not always a good predictor for the future, you know, we want to be data dependent, and we want to look at the real numbers. You know, what's actually happened versus, you know, how our emotions might, you know, interpret things. And the data does suggest that investors should have a certain sense of optimism about the election season and what that might mean for all of our bottom lines, Tony. I think when we look through the information we're going to share today, we can really tampen down a lot of the anxiety that seems to be pretty prevalent across the board today.
Yeah, so not only should investors out there not be worried about the election, they should also, in fact, maybe be excited what it might mean for the market if you look back at history. And now you have me intrigued.
Well, I think that's good, and I hope our listeners are as well. So let's do a little financial history 101 here on today's show. And if we do that, the data tells us that markets have generally risen during presidential election years. In fact, the S&P 500 has shown positive returns in 20 of the past 24 election years. And that goes back almost 100 years now of data back to 1928. So that's just over 83% of presidential election years for this stretch. And here's the good numbers. The average return during those election years was a little over 11.5% at 11.58. And that's actually higher than the S&P 500's average return for the same period, which was 9.81. So a couple points higher during the election years. And I think what this suggests is that while the election years will always be really big news stories, you know, after all, let's be honest here, we are electing the leader of the free world. It is the most powerful position in the world. In all actuality, the elections have had historically modest bearing during the election year on the economy and the markets. And I think most financial services providers would share my opinion, and that is that investors should not make big portfolio decisions because of all of the let's call it bluster and noise of an election year. Instead, we need to be mindful, be prudent, and I think perhaps most importantly of all, you know, stick with the financial strategy, stick with the comprehensive retirement income plans that you have put in place, and don't deviate that just because we might, as humans, you know, get caught up in the emotions of what's going on around us, and that is heightened during the political season. But we want to guard against that. You know, stick with the hard work that you and your financial advisor have gone through to put together your plan, and sticking to that through these periods of political churning, I think is very sound advice.
Yeah, and speaking of financial professionals like yourself, Mike, if any of our listeners today aren't already working with one, election year anxiety is a good reason to reach out and work with someone like yourself to make sure that you're not going to make emotional decisions and make sure you have a solid plan in place to deal with whatever might be coming down the road.
I think that's a really good point, Tony. You know, in today's realities, I would hate to see someone going it alone. And then whenever you compound that with all the political strife that's out there in the news media, I think, you know, there would be a temptation to react emotionally, and we certainly don't want to do that. And that's one of the things about having a relationship with, you know, a financial services professional that you can bounce ideas off of, and you can temper the emotion. There's also an article or some quotes from a strategy study at New York Life Investments, and you know they urge investors, you know, to expect the upcoming election to continue to bring, you know, all the splashy headlines, but we've really got to ignore what they call breathless hyperbole, and they note that rarely translates, you know, to an actual economic impact or really shifting market outcomes. You know, instead, as we're saying, you know, maintain your focus on things like, you know, the fundamentals, you know, of the market. You know, pay attention to the direction of interest rates, and we're starting to see inflation moderating, and you know, these are things that can help, you know, companies, you know, recover their profits, and it should empower people who have long-term diversified portfolios to continue moving toward that long-term goal with confidence. And again, I think it's really important that you have confidence in your planning, you know, for things like this, for the season that we're in. You know, that's why you've put your plan in place, to weather the things that you and your advisor think might be coming, and political change, the party that occupies the White House, and different parties have different you know, economic plans, different perspectives on taxes and variety of programs and how those might impact things. Hopefully those considerations have all been part of what went into you creating your plan. And if you've done a good job with your advisor, I think you should have a lot of confidence and rely on those plans, you know, as this year and then next year after the new president takes office. I think you'll be in a much better position than having, you know, made an emotional decision here this year just because of what we hear on the news. If it's the trouble the former president has found himself in, you know, with the courts, or you know, potential health issues with the current president, whatever those are, your planning should weather any type of storms that might be brought about with how either of those campaigns go. So,
yeah,
you know, stick with the plans that you and your advisor have made, and all of us maybe take a step back and calm our emotions when we hear the news stories, and just rely on the good work that you've already done.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a great point. And it reminds me of that common British expression, steady on. When it comes to our finances, we should stay steady on and not get distracted by what history suggests isn't going to matter much. I mean, presidents come and go. The other phrase, author Douglas Adams used, don't panic, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know, that's seems to be the mission of a lot of the media in today's world is to hype the hype and hype it even higher. And it's easy to get sucked into that. And we just don't want to do that. I want to add a critical note here. You know, the articles that we're going to talk about the rest of today and next week regarding the economic impact of this year's election, you know, they're going to talk about things like markets and investing throughout. And we're going to hear those words, as I said, today and next week. But again, listeners, we just don't have time to fully address, you know, all the rules and regulations, the pluses and the minuses and the nuances, you know, that come with the actual investing part of the work that we do. But certainly, I'll tell you, there's a lot of them that we have to deal with. You know, if investing is part of your financial strategy, you know, today and into your retirement, again, it's my strong opinion that it's absolutely essential to work closely with a financial services professional. You know, investing can be rewarding, but there can also be risks, and you want to make sure you fully understand those. So make sure you have someone in your corner with the experience that can provide the guidance, and most importantly, if needed, you know, be the cool-headed one. And as I said earlier, it'll bounce things off of, and you know, stand together as a team and work through these uncertainties and work through this political season together. And I think he'll come out on the other end well served.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you make a great point there. And I know that we have a lot more show to go today, but give us a quick rundown of some of the things that have really jumped out at you while you've been researching this economic impact of presidential elections.
Well, it's really been interesting, Tony, as we've you know, done the background work for this week and for next week. And the first thing that we found is, you know, there's really no evidence-based correlation between the political party that holds the presidency, you know, and stock market returns. You know, no matter how much I may support one party and oppose the other party, or maybe even have fears of what the other party may bring, the data suggests that companies typically find ways to go ahead and make money and have profits and produce positive returns of, you know, in the markets over a long period of times. You know, the second thing I found is that the stock market has been consistently and predictively positive for almost the last 100 years since 1926, with a couple of exceptions. You know, we did have, you know, the Great Depression, you know, in the 1930s, and we had the tech bubble burst, you know, in the early 2000s. We had the great financial crisis that ran through our economy 2007, 2008, and 2009. We had the COVID decline, and the market quickly recovered there. But, you know, if you put a pin in the board back in 1926 and you map it out to where it's at today, you know, despite these blips, the market has had, you know, tremendous growth. The third thing I think that I would cite from the things that we've read is, you know, it's our behavior, not the election results, that's far more likely to determine how our portfolio performs.
The thing that stood out the most to me was the statistic that 20 out of the last 24 presidential election years have been positive stock market years. And there's been pretty consistent, pretty good returns those years too. So not only does it not negatively affect it most of the time in the past 100 years, the presidential election years have been up, according to the S&P 500, and considerably. The average for a presidential election year is pretty good, the returns. So it is interesting. Presidents come and go, but the market has shown us over the last 100 years that it really doesn't care about party or president because it keeps on ticking, and it's been ticking up. I mean, we've recently seen some record highs once again. Now, there are adjustments, and there are exception years. I mean, we all remember 2022 and 2008, and, you know, so there are down years, but presidential election years, you're probably going to see some volatility right around the election, right? But don't panic, I think, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, that's right, Tony. And I would say this, you know, the market has survived all those presidents, and the markets have survived all the different changes from party to party. So, you know, as you said, the British expression, you know, steady on, you know, stick to your plan, stay the course.
Yeah.
Let's continue here in the brief time we have left. I want to reference an article, and we'll come back next week and kind of pick up this conversation. But I there's a lot of history, reality of, you know, economic impact of presidential elections. And that information is out there to be found. And there's a nationwide article titled, "Nearly Half of Investors Believe the 24 Election Will Have a Bigger Impact on Portfolios Than Market Performance." And with a headline like that being a mouthful, I found it really interesting. And a joint study between Nationwide Retirement Institute and Advisor Authority found that 45% of investors think the outcome of November's election will have a larger impact on the retirement goals and portfolios than market performance. So just to the contrary of the information that and data that we've actually shown here today.
Wow.
And because of this pessimism about what election results mean for retirement planning, you know, it noted the anxiety about you know, new policies that that might be brought in depending on which party wins the election on the overall economy. But specifically, the article said 32% of investors think the economy will tank in the next 12 months after this year's election if their candidate doesn't win. And 31% think if the party they don't support wins in November, their financial performance will be negatively affected. And finally, 31% of respondents shared their belief that taxes will rise within a year after the election if their party isn't in the White House.
Right.
So a lot of emotional response in these surveys, contrary to what the data has told us dating back to 1926. So listeners, we're out of time for our show today. Invite you to come back and join us again next week as Tony and I continue this discussion on how presidential elections have impacted markets. The news is much more positive than what the media might lead us to believe when it comes to elections impacting our finances. So please join us again here next week, and we'll finish up this discussion. In the meantime, if you have any questions about your retirement, call me at 812-787-0809. Until next week, we hope you have many great days. Thanks for being with us.
And that does it for today's episode of Retirement Talk with our host, Mike Graber. Thank you for listening to Retirement Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, contact Mike Graber at Compass Retirement Advisors. Call 812-787-0809. Or visit them online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com.
Investment advisory services provided by Creative One Wealth LLC, a registered investment advisor. Compass Retirement Advisors LLC, the Insurance Shop Inc., and Creative One Wealth LLC are unaffiliated entities. Mike Graber and Compass Retirement Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any government agency. Provided content is for overview and informational purposes only and is not intended and should not be relied upon as individualized tax, legal, fiduciary, or investment advice. Each individual situation will vary, and opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Illustration situations given are hypothetical examples and provided of illustrative purposes only. It does not represent real-life scenarios. Long-term care riders are not a replacement for long-term care insurance. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. Insurance product guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing company. Product and features may vary by state. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representation can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. The information contained here and is based on our understanding of current tax law. Tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional legal advice for applicability to your personal information.